Welcome to What Not to Do. I'm Kyle Schmitz, and this is episode 99. We're almost there, baby. Hey, I've got Jerry Abiog with me here. He's a co-founder and the CMO over at Standard Insights, which is AI as a service. That is artificial intelligence as a service. We get into it, and you are going to love this conversation. Hold tight. We will be right back. Good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men learn from the mistakes of others. What Not to Do gives entrepreneurs a platform to share their failures to help equip you for success. We break the silence on failure, we demystify failure, and we help you overcome the fear of failure. So, still not sure what to do? Start with what not to do, because hindsight is 20/20.
All right. I am with, I always forget to do this. How do I pronounce your last name? Jerry Abiog?
There you go. Like it's written out, but yeah, nailed it on the head.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. You are all the way down in Atlanta, Georgia, which is awesome. You are a serial entrepreneur. You started a consultancy some years back. And since then, you are the co-founder and chief marketing officer at Standard Insights, which is AI as a service. That's super sweet. I'm excited to dive into that, man. But thank you for taking some time and hopping on What Not to Do with me today.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So riddle me this. What's the temperature down in the ATL right now?
It's a bit cloudy. Let me look at my back window here. Low 70s, cloudy. It's overcast. It's going to be raining the next couple of days, but we're predicted to have a great sunny weekend.
There you go. I mean, we're up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a couple miles north of you guys. Yeah. And we're already into the 80s and pretty humid. So a lot of people don't realize that the frozen tundra can get pretty hot and sticky in the summer. However, it's a lot shorter than what you guys experienced down in.
Yeah.
I lived in Birmingham for a little bit. Would get over to Atlanta every once in a while. But I'm familiar with the humidity and the heat. And it's a glorious thing, which is wonderful. So
yeah, 2 hours away. What were you doing here or down in Birmingham?
Yeah. So I was working with a nonprofit kind of sports ministry, and they were using this kind of business model of setting up micro businesses to help generate proceeds to do what they're doing in third world countries. And one of those business models was setting up thrift stores. Right. And so it's amazing how profitable thrift stores can actually be and generating proceeds. So people would donate, and then you obviously resell them kind of like a Goodwill type of thing. And then all those proceeds would go to fueling, obviously over against the overhead that would take to run it. Et cetera, then the profits would go to advancing what they were doing in third worlds using sports, and it's cool stuff. So, but yeah, it was a fantastic time in Birmingham. It's a nice area.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing I love about What Not to Do, and we were kind of chatting off air about this, but I love getting together face to face with folks, having a cigar, a cup of coffee or a beer to have these conversations. Sure. And it's just awesome. Obviously, we're a couple miles away from each other, and we can't make that happen. It's amazing, the technology, though, that can still allow us to see each other and see each other smiling and drinking coffee or whatever it is. And the other thing I love about this is I have no idea who you are, and you have no idea who I am. So it's just an exciting time to be able to get to know each other, hear each other's stories a little bit, and more so really yours. So, so Jerry, for our listeners here, why don't we just dive into who are you, what do you love to do, where do you come from, are you married, do you have kids? All that kind of stuff, man. Who is Jerry Abiog?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. A Bengals fan. I know we talked about a little about football, in the green room. Married, no kids. We got three dogs, though, if that counts. And I've been living in Atlanta for, 25 years now, since graduating from college, graduated from University of Cincinnati. Big Bearcat fan.
Yeah.
And so that kind of tells you how old I am. It's been, 25 years. Good grief.
What kind of dogs do you have?
So we've got three dogs. One is, he's just turned two. We adopted him at 10 weeks old. He is a pit lab mix. And then next, we got two other little dogs. One's is a Chihuahua, Jack Russell, and the other one's a Chihuahua. So yeah. Running around barking, but it's fun.
Which one's the alpha?
Probably the old lady Chihuahua. She is 13 years old, so she's probably the alpha. And then next comes the Chihuahua Jack Russell mix, and then the biggest one of them. He's further from the alpha, the pit lab mix. So. Yeah.
Isn't that so hilarious? Like, I'm assuming the alpha is probably the smallest one out of the group. And
yeah,
that's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Cool. Yeah. Continue on.
Yeah. So I'm here. You know, talked a little bit about my bio. I co-founded an AI service growth marketing platform. You know, a few years back, and what we do is we help businesses execute data-driven omni-channel campaigns to drive growth. And why is this important? It helps them businesses target the right person with the right product at the right time. In essence, helping that business become competitive using AI in a data-driven world. And the mission behind Standard Insights, our mission is to be the global standard on how successful businesses prioritize and execute their marketing, remarketing campaigns, customer engagement with insights gleaned from their data. Mm. And then outside of work, I'm a fitness fanatic. So that kind of sums everything up in a nutshell.
What does fitness mean? What are you doing in the fitness arena?
So I've done a lot of, you know, different things over the course of my, adult life post college. I've done some, you know, participated in some Ironmans, ultra marathons.
Yeah.
A few years back, got my blue belt in jiu-jitsu. So just a bunch of different things just to keep me active. And I think that's important in today's day and age, focusing on your health. Right. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you can't do other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I've been learning quite a bit, you know, people always talk about how time is the scarcest resource, time. And I've been learning more of like, I don't think it's actually the most valuable resource. I think it's energy. And because it doesn't matter how much time in the world you have or how much time you carve out for your day, how are you spending it? Right. And caring for yourself, like you're talking about, and pushing yourself, growing yourself physically helps to generate more and more energy. Right. But as soon as you're zapped out of energy, that productivity just through the floor. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. You know, physical energy translates into mental energy, and you got to take care of yourself before you take care of other people. And not that you're selfish or anything, but taking care of your own mental well-being so you can help others.
Oh, totally, man. Yeah. If your tank's not full, how can you fill others? Right. I mean, totally. Yeah. And that's, it's kind of funny because it's in our bent to not want to be selfish, which I think is a good thing. We can actually become selfish because we're doing everything for everyone else except for ourselves, and therefore we're not actually really doing anything for anyone. It's kind of an inverted way of thinking about it, because generally that good bent, we don't want to be selfish. But exactly like you said, I mean, we got to care for ourselves before we have the capacity to care for other people. That's not selfish. Yep. That's actually one of the most selfless things we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know, a lot of the books say. I mean, we don't have, you know, kids, but just from, you know, hearing things that to have a good relationship with your kids, you got to focus first on the relationship with your better half, because that translates to having, you know, good relationships with your kids.
Oh, totally.
This is from what I heard. I don't have any kids. So for what it's worth.
I can affirm it, man. My wife and I have been married for 4.5 years. It'll be 5 years in September. We've got 4 kids under 4. So we're what you call a highly efficient family, which is great. But it's really important. Exactly. You prioritize those relationships. And I think, you know, one of the greatest things, like, at least from a husband's perspective, the best thing you can do for your kids is to love your wife, right?
Yeah.
The best thing you can do for your wife is to love yourself, to be there and make sure that you're present and all that kind of stuff. And physical discipline is part of that for sure.
Yeah. And not saying you never get tired. We all have those days, but that's where coffee helps. But yeah, but if you take care of yourself and, you know, do things right, that tiredness can be mitigated, and, you'll tend to have more energy than if you're doing things, you know, otherwise, you know, eating bad food, not exercising. So.
Yeah, totally. I love it, man. I've been more on like the weight side of things. But I would love to, like, I don't know, some of the you know, the kind of things like Tough Mudders have appealed to me. I've never done them, but kind of working my way up to them. But yeah, I'm a big fan of some of the bigger Olympic lifts and working kind of like, I don't know, there's something about moving big weights that just gets me going, which is fun. So,
yeah, I mean, that's one thing I miss is going to the gym because gyms are still closed and whatnot. So I do miss hitting the weights, hitting the bag. So what can you do? So now, just like in life, you adapt and overcome. So now, just doing calisthenics at home and doing more running than I used to. So,
And it's amazing though, too. I think so many like forms of innovation is going to come out of this time. Everything from like, you know, personal to professional, all kind of stuff. But just on the topic of like fitness, I have got a few kettlebells at home, some resistance bands and some club bells. And you can get crazy killer workouts. You could just, like you said, just calisthenics. Like you could just get a crazy workout just with that, right?
The club bells are the ones that like, they're like baseball bats, right? With big.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I don't know if you remember, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 48. So I used to watch wrestling back in the 70s and 80s and the Iron Sheik would have those club bells and doing them as a workout. So yeah, that's what I remember about club bells. But man, if you take those light kettlebells and you do enough reps, they can weigh a ton. They can feel a ton.
It'd kick your ass.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Okay. So, so take us into a day in the life of what you're doing with Standard Insights. What a day in the looks like, kind of just take time to kind of unpack and tell us how you guys are serving the world.
Yeah. So we've been around, 2 years and we can dive into how we got there, but basically my day starts early. There's four co-founders, two here stateside, and two in India. So I'm an early riser. I get up at 5, do my thing, do my workout. And then by 6 o'clock, 6:30 Eastern time, I'm on the phone with those guys and we're recapping their day's events. And we're, their day's events, because it's their, by the time we wake up, it's their late afternoon. And then now I begin to plan my day based on what they've accomplished during their daytime. And so right now it's a mix between product development and improving, product. And then for us here, the two other co-founders here in the US, sales and marketing. And that day, it could start from my day, 6:30, 7 o'clock Eastern time, all the way to, 7 o'clock at night and, with breaks in between. So that's pretty much how the, day pans out. Before we were all locked down, I was doing stuff on the road, but now everything's being done with the technology available today, online and Zoom meetings.
Yeah. Do you see that as part of your model moving forward then, more virtual, or would you like to get back to being in the flesh?
Probably more virtual in the near future, but eventually I'd love to go back to the good old fashioned hearty handshake.
Yeah,
looking someone in the eye, reading their body language. Yeah, you can read the body language in Zoom, but you really can't. Just being in front of them, just a few feet away and shaking their hand. I don't think any technology can replace that.
No, all five senses, baby, right?
Yeah.
It's really powerful. And it kind of reminds me of like, the kind of the overall principle, when everyone zigs, you zag, right? Yeah. And I was thinking about that this morning, how everyone's moving, especially with like this pandemic, you see it all the more, but just even like in macro trends, everyone's going online. Okay. So why don't we go in the flesh, right? I mean, like everyone's zigging, why not zag? And that can be a powerful thing, especially just with the relationships. And I think just how humans are, how we're created, things that are embedded in our OS, if you will. It's, we like the present. We like, we're relational beings in that sense. And you can never replace, while these are good tools, Zoom and all kind of stuff, technology is a great tool, can never replace that face-to-face in full,
But it's with the technology that we're using today on Zoom that's enabling businesses to continue, which wasn't available just 10 years ago during the last economic downfall with the 2008, 2009 Great Recession.
Right.
yet the technology available wasn't there to do what we're doing today. So yeah, technology has its place, and it was technology that got us out of the last recession. It's technology that's going to get out of this recession. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Nothing can replace that human face-to-face contact. So maybe down the road, there's going to be some mix. You don't always have to be flying out, you know, on a plane 100% of the time. Maybe there's some happy medium, maybe 40, 50% of the time you can meet someone, and then the other 40, 50% you can do it over Zoom. So I think down the road, there's going to be happy medium to appease both both parties and everyone's senses.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, well said. And I absolutely agree. I think technology is a great tool, right? Kind of like money. It's a great tool, but a terrible master, you know?
Right.
And so if technology is dominating you and you're enslaved to it, probably not a good thing, right? You want to restore that relationship. But technology is a tool. I mean, technology is really a form of wealth if you think about it. And I thought that your insight as far as like, the last recession, we didn't quite have the same amount of wealth in technology that we have today, where it's actually a huge asset suddenly to businesses to stay alive and well, even for things like you and I are doing, right? I mean, this is amazing. Like, we couldn't meet physically, but we can meet this way, which is cool.
And 10 years ago, we probably couldn't have done this, right? Or you could have, but it was going to be cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
I remember my last corporate job, we did have video conferencing, but it was a big giant camera. It was expensive. Now with Zoom, you know, what is it, 10, 15 bucks a month you use. So, yeah. But even you said that you got to incorporate technology with the human aspect, even with artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is great. I mean, obviously, I co-founded a company behind that. Right. But you always have to have a human touch.
Yeah.
In conjunction with whatever technology you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So let's use that. Let's get into a little bit more of AI as a service. So, I think probably I'm familiar with, having worked for a previous software startup.
Sure.
And so I'm familiar with software as a service, and I'm sure our listeners are probably generally familiar with that term, as they're mainly growth oriented entrepreneurs in whatever industry, but they're probably familiar with that. But AI as a service, so that's a little bit newer for me, but it makes sense to me, and probably to see that grow. But can you kind of unpack a little bit more, like what that looks like and how AI can really play in helping to play in the marketing space for companies?
Yeah. So AI, its most basic terms, is getting a computer to think and act like a human. And with AI as a service, so AI is kind of relatively new, but it isn't. But the first, when people talk about AI, the first thing that could come to mind would be AI, IBM Watson, right? But then back just even 5-6 years ago, IBM Watson was only reserved for the Fortune 1000 companies. And hey, could you afford it? Now with AI's service, now that AI is being democratized, and now it's being made available from obviously the big businesses who started, you know, adopting it, all the way down to the, you know, small, you know, mom and pop businesses. We're providing a platform, AI as a service, just like Zoom is a service, where anyone that's non-technical can use it. Once we get the data in, it's literally just a few clicks of the mouse to be able to get the data, analyze the data, you know, prioritize the data, and then execute data-driven, you know, omni-channel campaigns. And all this is done via an AI as a service platform, just like with any software as a service platform that you or your listeners are familiar with. So it's relatively simple to use. And that's how we formed, or one of the main tenets of Standard Insights, in our AI as a service growth marketing platform.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's really, really interesting. And who's all playing in that space? Are you guys kind of like, did you guys create the category? Are you guys kind of early in, or who's playing in that space?
We're probably somewhere, you know, in the middle. So if you look right now, there's over 1,000 AI startups, but every, you know, AI could encompass a lot of different things. We play in the sales and marketing space. Mm-hmm. And yes, we study our competitors relentlessly. And I've got three competitors. I know they're on top of my mind. I don't really want to share that. But yeah, we have 3 to 5 competitors that were studying, like, okay, this is what they're doing. How can we, you know, improve on that? And that's how we built and are continuing to improve our platform.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's powerful. So like, what do you see? And yeah, but please don't, not looking for any trade secrets or anything like that, you know? Like, so what do you see as the kind of the long-term vision of that space? Like, do you see a lot more companies eventually incorporating a lot more AI into how they're understanding, you know, how to relate to their customers and sales and marketing? I mean, is that really kind of the key there and even the speed of doing that? Or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, what we're learning now with what the whole world is experiencing, that the digitization of companies, or whether it's here in the US or worldwide, has accelerated tenfold just because of what's happening. Hmm. And whether it's the Internet of Things, you know, things being done on, you know, on cloud. I mean, heck, a lot of companies are still operating off the server-based model. Yeah. And they're realizing now how that's, you know, handcuffing them versus the companies who've had cloud platforms in place. Mm-hmm. And those, so the companies that are failing to act, the companies that are failing to realize the help and the, you know, the help that technology can bring them, I'm afraid they're not going to be around much longer once the dust settles. And a good example of this, you know, 10 years ago, you remember Blockbuster? Yeah. How you were, hey, how do you want to watch? Here you go to Blockbuster, rent some DVDs. And it was a young, not, you know, startup that no one knew, Netflix, that, hey, we're going to put all this stuff, you know, online. Blockbuster ignored them, and look where Blockbuster's at right now versus Netflix. I mean, people are using that during this pandemic. So yes, what this whole AI thing. So Grandview Research put a study that in 5 short years, they're projecting the AI industry, whether it's sales or marketing or security, to be close to a $400 billion industry in 5 short years. So AI encompasses a lot of things. And you know, again, we play in the sales and marketing space. But yeah, companies that fail to pivot and adapt and use technology, yeah, they're not going to be around for much longer. I mean, we're already seeing it. The big retailers, you know, JCPenney, Sears, you know, they're failing. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, this pandemic helped accelerate that, but they were failing before this started. So yeah, if companies don't, you know, fail to recognize the value of technology, yeah, they're not going to be around.
Totally. Yeah. I remember when I was in sales, you know, for the software startup and hearing things, you know, companies, you know, the average lifespan of a company was rapidly decreasing. Right. Yeah. And speed is something becoming everything. How fast technology is changing the game and the landscape and in the playing field. And exactly what you're saying, if companies aren't forward thinking and how they can integrate technology into their strategy and solution, like that, they will cease to be a company. Right. And it's like, you have to, well, I guess the basic principle is if you're not growing, you're dying, right? There isn't this neutral kind of safe middle ground. We can just be there. You either are constantly to grow and expand and evolve in a sense, or you are truly regressing as a company and you're on your way out.
And you said something, forward thinking. If you're a company that's not forward thinking and still relying on what you used to do, then yeah, you're not going to be around. It's not if, it's when.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So I want to know why, Jerry, I mean, of all the things that you could do and give your time and attention to, you still wake up every morning and you're helping companies to actually, be forward thinking, like we were just talking about, to actually take this technology and be great stewards of it to really empower, that company and grow, ultimately just help them serve their clients. But like, why are you giving your life to that? What's that greater kind of pulse within you that keeps driving you to do that?
Yeah. So, we want to see our clients succeed. Without our clients' success, then us and the co-founders and all, you know, everyone that's employed, you know, with Standard Insights all the way down to, you know, we cease to exist. I mean, you could have the greatest technology in the world with the best software platform, but if no one's buying it and you're not solving anyone's problem, well, that your company's worthless. Yeah, pretty much. And that's the lesson I learned from the past AI startup that I came from. So It's always serving other people than yourself. So in this case, it will be the clients and helping them grow. But if you're not serving them and helping them grow, then your company will cease to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, how true is that? Just a general principle in life. Like if the work that we're doing in the world isn't for the sake of serving others, then it will cease mm-hmm. to exist. It won't bear yeah. fruit. It'll be done. I mean, yeah. and if we're not adding value, then we're not going to have much of a business.
Yeah. And you said they're adding value, right? So, you know, obviously down the road, we're looking to get funded, but when investors and VCs are talking to the co-founders, they want to make sure that, hey, that you're adding value for your customers, because you want to help, you know, if a VC invests a bunch of money in your company, they want to make sure that you're going to be adding value to their portfolio, right? Mm-hmm. So helping their investment grow. So it's always about, you know, helping those in front of you. So in this case, it's our customers. And if an investor comes in and invests money in us, they want to see that we're providing value for them. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And would you say that kind of rings true, like on a personal level, like just for you personally, even beyond Standard Insights, like the things that you want to do and give your time and attention to, really comes to just helping those in front of you? I mean, is it like on a personal level for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as I mentioned before, I'm passionate with fitness, but does that mean that if someone needs help with getting on a workout program, that I tell them, hey man, just, you know, do an Ironman or do jiu-jitsu, but you know, if you need help with working out, but hey, maybe all that you can do today is, you know, walk around the block, then walk around the block. But then maybe as you walk around the block for a couple of weeks, maybe extend that mileage a little bit further. So just as long as, you know, I can impart to someone, just, you know, push yourself each and every day, you know, outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah. And obviously, like we talked about earlier, I mean, and like you're just saying, it's, you've been practicing what you've been preaching, right? I mean, like you can see your why, like kind of fleshing out and you pushing yourself and growing, experiencing new things and developing. And then even what you're doing on a professional level, you're helping companies to do what you've done on a personal level, which yeah. is grow and push and become even 1% better every day. It's just, it's really yeah. cool to see.
And, you know, you said it's, yeah, 1% better every day, just these small little tiny steps yep. that actually, like, okay, wow, you look back, hey, you know, this is what I've accomplished. And you mm-hmm. you know, never rest on your laurels, and you keep on trying to get better and improve each and every day.
Yeah.
And so outside of work, or you know, professionally and personally.
Yeah. And it's powerful, man. I mean, like that, just that concept of those small tiny steps on a daily basis, after a year, 6 months, you know, it's amazing how far, how much progress you can make. And you don't think about it or even feel it at the time, but those tiny steps a little bit further every day, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
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 Very powerful.
So powerful. It's amazing. That concept blows my mind. It's embedded in nature. It's embedded in the world God created. We see this all the time, right? You plant, you water, and the supernatural happens, right? God gives increase. It's crazy, but in the meantime, we don't see it, right? Like if you look out at, we live out by some farm fields right now, and we can see the corn growing, and it's super exciting in a lot of ways, but man, it just, every time you look, it's like, oh, there it sprouts, but you know, it takes time. If we sat there out, you know, every day just watching the grass grow, the corn grow, you're not going to see significant changes. Well, this is life, you know? And when we plod at things, you know, a little bit every day, it yields exponential results. I've heard it likened to, you know, if you had two planes side by side and they set off, and the only difference was they had a 1% variation in their trajectory, right? For a long time, those planes are going to be pretty close to each other. But you know what? One's going to end up in Hawaii. The other's going to end up in Alaska. You know, and you can be further apart. And this is The Compound Effect, which is a great book. Darren Hardy, you got The Slight Edge. You got a lot of guys saying the same thing. But look, there's nothing new under the sun. This isn't new. This is old, you know, and you've experienced it your entire life, right? Every day, wake up and say, how can I get 1% better? What can I do today that will drive my business forward 1%? That's, I think, Jaja, my third kiddo, screaming in the background. Great guy. And even kids. Man, it's crazy. Like, you know, every once in a while you stop and you're like, oh my gosh, they're getting so big. But in the heat of it every day, you don't even realize it. But guess what? They're growing. And they're growing exponentially so. This is all of life. It's inescapable. And when we finally realize this, we can use this to our advantage in incredible ways, right? And it's not something we have to worry about and be, belabored with or weighed down by anxiety and be so anxious. Look, it's just 1%. What can you do to push closer to your goals today? Just 1% closer, right? One step closer. Something a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and know that, you know, over a long time, doing that consistently, man, that's going to add up to a lot. It's awesome. I just leg pressed 900 pounds today. Now, that sounds like a lot. Leg press is easier than squats. I'm not trying to, but, you know, 900 pounds, it's just a big number, right? And, but you don't start leg pressing 900 pounds, right? So you start where you are, and you just add, you know, 5 pounds every time you head into the gym. And guess what? A year later, man, you're leg pressing 900 pounds or whatever it might be, right? Whatever your realm of life is, it's just amazing. And so this exists all around us. It's one of those fundamental laws of nature that God, you know, built into the world. Good, good stuff. Use it to your advantage. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this initial conversation with Jerry. Sharp guy, love his mind. Excited to dive into some of his failures tomorrow. But if you've enjoyed this conversation, share it with a friend, share it with a colleague. Take some of these concepts, that 1% better everyday concept. Talk with a friend about it. Challenge, you know, set up a 30-day challenge, right? You and a friend, and you're going to set out to get 1% better every day. You're going to do something, you've got a goal, and you're going to do 1% better. And then see where you are in 30 days, right? And I bet you it's going to be so contagious, you're not going to want to stop, right? You're going to say, let's go with 60 days. Let's go 90. Let's go a year, right? So do that. Do that with a friend. A great way you can help to get stories like Jerry's out is to leave us a review wherever you listen. Obviously, if you give us a 1-star review, probably not going to help to get the stories out. And if you're going to leave us a 1-star review, I want to know about it, you know? I want to know how I can add value. And if this show is only, you know, 1-star in your opinion, then I'm doing something wrong. And I want to know about it so I can fix it. But hopefully it's a 5-star review. Hopefully you're getting massive value out of this. That's why I do what I do. I want to see you guys get 1% better every day. And I want to try to lead by example by me getting 1% better every day. I take that really, really seriously. Well, it's been said that good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men, they learn from the mistakes of others. So go and be great. And we'll see you next time.